Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it, the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 15th day of July, 2019. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host, and I appreciate the hell out of you listening. Thank you for doing that. Thanks for telling a friend. Please keep doing that. Spread the word. Like and share and tweet, and I don't know how you Instagram a podcast, but if you can do that, do that. Encourage your friends to sign up. It's free, and you'll get a 100% commission on that, I promise you. A lot of stuff to get to, lots of things to talk about. As always, you can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. If you want to win a signed copy of Kaylee McEnany's book, you can email me and let me know that you want to do that. We're not going to be giving it away this week, because I'm scheduled to do this week's interview today, and you would not have had enough time to enter. So we'll probably do that next week. But just email me, let me know what that you want to be in on the drawing, and so it is written or emailed, and so it shall be done. Oh, lots of stuff to get to, tons of things to talk about. Oh, the weekend was hot. Shot around at golf, and then came home and hung out in the kiddie pool with the kids. Well, with the one kid, the 8-month-old or 9-month-old or whatever she is. Not a pool person just yet, but we got one of those inflatable pools that's big enough. I'm 6'5". I'm a big guy. 6'5". I can lay across it, and the kid crawls all over me, which is fine. I'm floating in water. I'm perfectly happy with that. Highly recommend it. It was like $23 on Amazon, so do that if you can. All right, let's get right to it, shall we? Where do we start? Do we start with the Democratic Civil War, or do we start with the actual war that Democrats were trying to start? Before we get to the Democratic Civil War, because we're going to spend some more time on that, I just want to point out the ICE raids have started, allegedly, and oh man, the left is very upset. They had big protests scheduled over the weekend, and I want to just read you a couple of bits from two news stories about the same thing from two different news sources, and you can see if you can spot what's missing from this. It's kind of weird. The New York Times, their headline, "Man attacking ICE detention center is fatally shot by police." Oh, it's just a tragedy, really. Misunderstanding. They write, "The police fatally shot a man who was attacking an immigration detention center in Tacoma, Washington, on Saturday morning," the authorities said. "The man, who was armed with a rifle, was throwing unspecified incendiary devices at the Northwest Detention Center, according to a police statement. The man, identified by officials on Saturday afternoon as Willem von Spronensen, I don't know, he's dead, doesn't matter, 69 years old, of Vashon Island, Washington, continued throwing lit objects at buildings and cars," the statement said. "The guy set one car fully on fire, melted it down. Mr. Van Spronsen also attempted and failed to ignite a commercial-sized propane tank attached to the center," said Sean Falla, the resident agent in charge of the ICE Office of Professional Responsibility. Don't you love how this is being couched? Just one guy, not really sure of his motives, not really sure what's going on. This is a terrorist attack. Somebody's trying to blow up a building and set it on fire, or set it on fire at a minimum. And they're just couching it. He was alleged to have done this. He might have done that. Who knows? Well, that's the New York Times take. Let's go to the Conspiracy News Network, CNN. Their headline, "Man accused of hurling incendiary device at Washington ICE facility fatally shot by police." "An armed man was fatally shot early Saturday during a confrontation with police after he hurled incendiary devices at a Washington State Immigration Detention Center," Tacoma police said. "The shooting occurred about 4 a.m. local time outside ICE Northeast Detention Center, where the man had attempted to set the building and parked cars on fire," according to police spokeswoman Loretta Cool. Notice anything missing here? Any sort of affiliation? It's always front and center when it's a Republican or a conservative. So you might think, there might be something more at work here. It was not known whether the man fired at officers, Cool said. Authorities are examining footage from surveillance cameras. The assault at the private-run immigration detention facility came amid protests over ICE plans to begin the previously postponed raids across the country on Saturday. Now, this is important, but glossed over. The next sentence. The goal is to arrest thousands of migrant families who already have court orders to be removed. Isn't that kind of interesting? And then, of course, CNN has to be CNN. They say a peaceful rally against the raids at the Tacoma Detention Center had ended about 6 hours before the shooting. Oh, it's a peaceful one before that. So then who was this person? Who was the man who tried to blow up the building and burn it down with ICE employees and sweet, sweet, nourishing migrants in it? Who is Willem, first of all, Willem, really? Willem von Spronson. Well, let's go to the Seattle Antifa Action Facebook page for a little eulogy for Willem. They wrote, quote, "When our good friend and comrade Willem von Spronson took a stand against the fascist detention center in Tacoma, he became a martyr who gave his life to the struggle against fascism. He was kind and deeply loved by many communities. We cannot let this death go unanswered. Throughout history, we idolize figures like John Brown for their courage to take the ultimate stand against oppression. And today, we stand strong in our support for yet another martyr in the struggle against fascism. May his death serve as a call to protests and direct action." Antifa, Seattle. He's a radical lefty. Nowhere in the New York Times story or the CNN story does it make any mention of that or any mention of Antifa. It's not a loose association. There is reams of footage of him at all kinds of Antifa events, not just to mention the fact that Antifa, on their official Twitter page, had eulogized him, called him a hero and a comrade. So why would CNN and New York Times not mention that? Might it have something to do with, oh, I don't know, politics? Might it have something to do with their simpatico nature with politics? Now, I love this. The CNN story, this was all known, by the way, and CNN, even if it weren't known by the time this were published, CNN could have updated it. That's the beauty of the website. It's not a printed piece of paper that once it's done, you're screwed. They could update it. They have not, at least as of now at 2 a.m. They also quote the mayor of Washington, who's running for president, Jay Inslee, and trying to outleft everybody. Jay Inslee says, let's see, CNN writes, "The motive behind the armed man's pre-dawn attack is unclear." We just don't know. He could have been, you know, a right-winger trying to kill a whole bunch of immigrants, which doesn't ever happen. Then the governor speaks, quote, this is Jay Inslee, Democratic presidential candidate, quote, "We don't know the motivation. I'm going to keep an open mind about this as the investigation proceeds, and I hope that calm can be the order of the day," end quote. Inslee said he didn't know whether the attacker was targeting detainees or staff. You don't understand the left. This reporter at least doesn't want you to understand the left. Maybe this reporter doesn't understand the left, but the left doesn't care about dead. They care about attention. They care about drawing attention. If this building had been set afire and 300 illegal aliens had been burned to death, they would have been treated as martyrs to the cause. See, they should not have been there in the first place. That's the problem with it. The evil ICE employees had to be destroyed for the good of those people who were also killed in the process. And while they may be dead, future detainees will not be oppressed by these people. The left doesn't care. The individual is expendable. It's always been the case. Jay Inslee said, quote, We know at this moment there is tremendous anxiety in our community. We know there is tremendous anger about the inhumanity going on at the border. I know seeing children in cages, as we have seen, is extremely heartening to all of us. I know at the moment we have to hope that we can remain calm. End quote. Then he went on to say that the president is intentionally trying to create anxiety and fear. I'm not bothered by any of the footage or any of the videos that I've seen from the border or any detention facilities. Not a single one of them. Some of them are individually sad, and I quickly move on because all the individually sad events are a direct result of bad and or stupid choices made by the people in the photographs. That's it. You want to show me a whole bunch of guys living in a caged area where they're being detained? I'm not going to cry for you, Argentina. You can call me heartless or whatever, but I have much more respect for the law than the people who are weeping about this. And by the way, a great many number of these Democrats who are outraged, their hearts just burn for what's going on to these children and these women and these all these people just trying to seek a better life. How many homeless Americans did you have to step over in order to get to the camera to cry your crocodile tears? How many homeless Americans did you drive past on your way to the studio? Did you think that those tent cities were just new green developments? It would be a weird place to have new green developments in every city park in Los Angeles, don't you think? But this is the left. Their priority is not American citizens. We have, over the weekend, there were members of Congress who were out going, they went to Mexico to feed illegal aliens, well, potential future illegal aliens, waiting to cross the border because they're forced to wait in Mexico, and that's just inhumane. Oh, it's horrible. They were feeding them hot meals. Congresswoman Jackie Speier of California and Representative Philemon Vella of Texas, two Democrats. Are there no homeless Americans, no homeless veterans, if you don't just care about Americans? You at least pretend to care about veterans in California or Texas? Of course there are. Of course, there are lots of them. How many times have these members of Congress gone to feed homeless veterans? Probably not very often. How many pieces of legislation have they introduced to alleviate the problem of homeless veterans? I'm betting zero. But they can get cameras to follow them into Mexico to expose the plight of the sweet, sweet, nourishing illegal alien. There are moral betters. They should be above the law. And this is a huge part of the Democratic Civil War. So you got, by the way, just to recap, you've got an Antifa member, a proud Antifa member, trying to blow up or set fire to an ICE detention facility to kill everybody inside, because that's what the left does. And the New York Times and CNN can't seem to find an affiliation that it took the Twitterverse about 20 minutes to find. So, what do you do about this? On Sunday, the ICE raids started. I don't know why they were announced in advance. I don't know why. Well, the president told us why they were postponed in the first place, but why they were announced in advance the first time and now announced in advance, I don't know. Democrats were tweeting about how you can get legal aid, how you must help these illegal aliens. You must come together as a community. This is what drives me nuts about the left and this word community. Community used to mean the area in which you lived, right? You live in a city, and then that city sort of broke up into different areas, usually road boundaries set it. And if you lived within a particular geographic area, you were part of a community. When I was a kid and riding my bike constantly, I knew that the community was watching me. Not in a stalkery kind of way, but in a way that if I'd gone and done something, broken a window, stolen something, set something on fire, if I was playing with matches or whatever, somebody would see me. And that somebody would either know my parents or know somebody who knew my parents. They'd be able to spot me. There was no getting away with it. That being said, if I'd wiped out on my bike and was laying unconscious on somebody's front lawn, the same sort of game of telephone would exist. That was the community. You knew your neighbors. It didn't matter what color they were. It didn't matter what sexual orientation they were. It didn't matter anything. Your community was based on geography. Now the Democrats have bastardized that. It is not based on geography. It is based on the skin tone. It is based on your gender. It is based on your gender identity. It is based on your sexual orientation. Well, who you screw has no relevancy to anything. What color you are has no relevancy to anything in the sense of community, or at least it used to not. You would care about what happened to your actual neighbors. The Democrats have changed that for you not to care about what happens to your neighbors, but to care about people who have similar traits to you, or if you happen to be cursed by being white, who are of marginalized communities. Now, the whole thing, marginalized communities, what the hell? Don't even get me started on that. So a gay man living in Pittsburgh should care more about what happens to a gay man living in San Diego than what happens to their actual physical neighbor. They should identify more with somebody just because they happen to enjoy the same sex across the country than they should identify with somebody who lives next to them. That's the exact opposite of what community is. That is identity politics. It's rotting this country to its core. So when they sit around, oh, the immigrant community this, they are conflating. They are basically telling guilty white liberals, you should care about this because you're horrible and look at what your race has done. It's the same thing they tried to do with Mitch McConnell and the reparations issue by finding out that 100 years ago, 150 years ago, your ancestors were slave owners. So what? Big deal. They tell you that constantly. Worry about your community. We must worry about the immigrant community. They're really sending coded messages to Hispanic people as part of an indoctrination protocol. Thankfully, it hasn't taken full hold yet. But the mentality is you should care about those people coming across the border. Not that they're just treated humanely. Everybody wants them to be treated as humanely as possible. But you should care that they get into the country. They should be living right next to you. They should be doing whatever they want. They should be competing with you for jobs. Why? And they should be exempt from the law. Why? Because they share the same skin tone as you. They share the same heritage as you. Now, most rational people look at that and go, what the? No. Has nothing to do with the law is the law. You don't like the law, change the law. But just because somebody looks like me, if I find out that there's a bank robbery, I don't go, well, was the person who robbed it white? Were they a white, straight male? Because if they were, I'm going to help them try to elude authorities. But if they aren't, well, then they should face the full brunt of justice. No. You know why? Because that would be racist. And it would be stupid. More importantly, well, racism is incredibly stupid, but the left lives there. That's what they do. That's who they are. That's what they instill in people. So you have activists on college campuses who've never actually done anything with their lives, never actually seen anything, and they sure as hell don't understand the law or what's going on at the southern border or economics, standing up and crying about how they've heard stories about children sleeping in cages. It's horrible, but they don't care because they didn't hear those stories during the Obama administration when the exact same thing was happening. They aren't even retroactively mad about it, to be honest with you. For the most part, it's all about Donald Trump. This is what happens when you keep people in an emotional state, in an emotional frenzy. The left goes from trying to scare the hell out of people to trying to piss them off, because people who are afraid and people who are angry are really, really easy to manipulate. It helps when they start off being feeble-minded, which is already inclined to vote for the left, and it also explains why liberalism appeals so easily to high school and college students. They don't have any real-world experience. They've just come out of an indoctrination machine that told them that reality is something different than it is. and they come out and they're ready to go. Oh, God, social justice, social justice. And you have people on television. I'm going to play a clip from Kirsten Powers. She used to be a Fox News contributor. Then she went over to CNN. She was semi-sane. There are no sane Democrats anymore. Listen to her talk about the ICE raids. And listen to her talk about how the law should be irrelevant. This clip is unbelievable. We'll talk about it when it's done.
Yeah, I mean, this is incredibly inhumane. And it was inhumane when Barack Obama did it. I mean, I see a lot of Republicans bringing it up saying, oh, well, Barack Obama deported all these people. And yes, he did. And that's why the Hispanic community called him the deporter in chief. And we're very critical of her. I mean, of him. And I think that the problem with this is these are, you know, largely speaking, hardworking people who have come to this country, usually fleeing very bad circumstances and trying to make a better life, and they're being treated as criminals, and you know, creating fear for children, for families. I mean, they're talking about deporting families, right? They are talking about going in and grabbing anybody that's around a person who they're targeting. And I think it's worth talking about who they're targeting as well, because they're talking about people who have court orders against them to leave the country. But in a lot of cases, these are people, they don't have court orders because they've murdered somebody. They have court orders because they didn't show up when they were supposed to show up in court. And what immigrant communities have found when like the think tanks, basically, who do the studies on these things have found, is that when people come into this country and you give them a lawyer or you give them an advocate, 90% of them show up for their court hearings. Right. So when people don't show up for their court hearings, it's usually because they don't know that they were supposed to show up for their court hearing. So we're going to go in and break down people's doors, basically, and drag them out of the country because they didn't know that they were supposed to show up for a court hearing. I mean, what kind of country are
we? What kind of country are we? Oh, we're going to deport people just because they didn't show up to court? We throw Americans in prison all the time for not showing up to court. Why should illegal aliens be any different? I mean, there's so much crap in there. Oh, when you give them a lawyer, so we have to let people come into the country with open borders. Then we have to provide them with top-notch legal representation and pay for that on top of it. Then release them into the wild while the government determines whether or not their claim of asylum has any validity whatsoever. These people who are being deported now, the people who are subject to these ICE raids, have gone through that process, and they didn't show up to court. The reason they show up to court, don't show up to court, Kirsten, is not because they don't. I don't understand. You mean I have to show up to court means I have to show up to court? If you're that stupid that you don't know that in order to show up to court means you have to show up to court, you shouldn't be in this country. We shouldn't be taking you. You will bring nothing to society, ever. The giant sucking sound is a leak in between your ears, just sucking in all the oxygen. They didn't know they had to show up to court. If they had known they had to show up to court, they would have shown up to court. That's not true whatsoever. They don't show up to court because they know they don't actually have a legitimate asylum claim. Here's how it works. You come across the border. You sneak across. You try and evade ICE. If you don't, or Border Patrol, if you don't, you say, oh, I'm here to seek asylum. I'm scared for my life back in my own country. Therefore, I need asylum. Of course, you could have done that anywhere in the world, any of the countries you marched through to get to our southern border, but Democrats don't let the facts stand in the way of a good story. So we have now waived all of those laws that say you're supposed to do it in the first safe country you come to, which would be Mexico if you're coming from Guatemala, Honduras, or El Salvador. We waive that and we say, okay, we'll let you just skip over Mexico and come to the United States. But you have to actually prove that your life is threatened. One third of the El Salvadorians in the world live in the United States of America. The country can't be that bad everywhere. Because the other two thirds are making their way up here. So maybe we could send some liberals down there. They can create their own damn utopia and everybody will just go back home. So you get them across the border. As soon as they're caught, they say, no, no, I'm seeking asylum. I'm scared for my life. I'm scared for my life. Then the process says, okay, we'll take your name and information. most of it based on the honor system, because these people aren't carrying valid passports or any form of identification, because they want to make this process as long and difficult as humanly possible. And many of them have criminal records that we could find if we knew who they actually were. So then they pinky swear that in 9 months to a year and a half, they will show up in court to have their case adjudicated. And then they're released into the country. Oftentimes on flights that we, the American taxpayer, have the privilege and honor to pay for. It's a hell of a racket. No country can survive like this. The left doesn't want this country to survive, which is why they're embracing this. Then when the time comes, they don't show up. They've already moved and disappeared and blended into the country, and they know that there is very little enforcement of immigration laws in the interior of the country. They know that if they move to a sanctuary city or state, that no matter what they get caught doing, they will not face consequences for it from the immigration standpoint. An immigration detainer will be issued for them and promptly ignored, because that's what the left does. So you get a drug dealer or a violent felon who is then released and then able to kill somebody, because the left is so tolerant and compassionate and caring about the illegal aliens. Not the American citizens. Kate Steinle is dead from somebody who was deported 7 times before, who had a detainer against them. That meant that when they were released, this guy was released from prison, from being held by the city of San Francisco, they were supposed to notify ICE so that they could come and pick him up and get his ass out of the country. San Francisco promptly ignored that. He went on to kill Kate Steinle after he was released into the wild. That is the most famous, but just one of countless examples of how sanctuary cities work. And we're supposed to feel very upset when people are getting deported. There could be ICE raids around the country. Don't you get it? These people, they're going to not only arrest people and deport people who are ordered deported. Now, keep in mind, what you heard Kirsten Powers say is that these people have gone through the process. And the only reason they didn't show up to court was because they didn't know they had a court date, which is a garbage excuse, but it wouldn't fly for a single American anywhere ever. It just would not. But the argument is that they should not be deported anyway, even though the courts have said they've gone through their case, they've checked out their facts, and it doesn't hold water. They have no case for asylum. They have to go. Now, we're being told that down at the southern border, everybody is supposed to be released so that the process can go through. We must respect the process. They should be released into the wild because that's part of the process. Well, the end result of the process is what the president is talking about here. Going out and getting 2,000 people who have orders against them to be removed from the country. So the Democrats say people must get into the system as quickly as possible. They should not be detained at all under any circumstances. They should just be released into the United States and then wait for the process to work. And they're also saying, by the way, at the end of the process, when it doesn't go their way and they're ordered to be removed, they shouldn't be removed. They should be allowed to stay. Do you see any disconnect there? Do you see any garbage there? Do you see what they're doing? They're essentially saying, forget about it. Open the borders. Come one, come all. Let's get everybody into this country who wants to be here. They need to be registered to vote for the 2020 elections. No country can survive this. Not a single one. They don't want this country to survive this. They want to destroy and remake this country in their own image. Over last week, last Friday, I think it was, Saiket Chakrabarty, this is leading into the Civil War. It's kind of all of this is rolled together. This is part of it. In a puff piece, do you know what a fluffer is in porn movies? It's not, you don't have to tell anybody if you do. Doesn't mean that you watch a lot of porn, although maybe you do. I don't know. I don't care. But the Washington Post puff piece on Saiket Chakrabarty, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's chief of staff, would make a fluffer in porn blush. It would make Joseph Goebbels blush as far as a piece of propaganda goes. But there is one telling little passage in it, because they were meeting with Governor Jay Inslee, Psycat was. He was meeting with staff of Governor Jay Inslee, who's running for president, as I said, and is doing it based solely on climate change. His staff is out there and they're saying, you know, congrats on the rollout, Psycat said. That was pretty great. Inslee's staff says, thank you again for the kudos you guys offered. We wanted to keep be pace setting for the field, and I think we're there now. I want to ask you for input in addition to hearing what you guys are working on. Now, this is where it gets telling. Their conversation. Inslee staff wanted to meet with AOC because she's the one who proposed the Green New Deal, which still isn't legislation, even though we've only got less than 12 years now before the end of humanity. She hasn't bothered to put up any legislation whatsoever. You would think with such a pressing issue, that would be a pressing issue for her, but it's not, because she's lying. Then the Post reports, and this is the most telling thing. Shekhar Rabardi had an unexpected disclosure. Quote, the interesting thing about the Green New Deal, he said, is it wasn't originally a climate thing at all. Inslee's staff greeted this startling notion with an attentive poker face. Psycat continued, quote, do you guys think of it as a climate thing? Because we really think of it as a how do you change the entire economy thing. Yes, right there. Climate change. The myth, the lie, the hoax, the fraud of climate change was the convenient delivery device for remaking the United States of America's economy. They want to remake the economy. They want to remake the culture. They want to remake the population. They want to replace Americans with, quote, new Americans, as Martin O'Malley used to call them, who will vote guaranteed the way Democrats want them to vote. You're being replaced. You're being lied to. You're being scammed. You're being hoodwinked. And they're admitting it right out there in the open. I mean, you think of this, the Green New Deal. Why would anybody think of the Green New Deal as something to do with climate? We're talking about remaking the American economy to make it more fair. Not to make it green, not to make it environmentally friendly, but to make it quote-unquote more fair, which to these lefties is more communistic. It really is Orwellian, their use of language, and dangerous what they're trying to do. It's pulling the wool over so many people's eyes. Someday I hope that the wool is the sheep is completely naked and people begin to see the truth. But when you've got the entire media infrastructure running blocker for you, that's really unlikely. So on back to the immigration issue. There was a hearing on Friday up on Capitol Hill. There are two clips I want to play for you because it's absolutely brutal, both of them. Thomas Hoseman was the former director of ICE, and AOC herself really wanted to nail him for being the architect of the family separation policy. There's going to be a little bit of a pause in here because AOC doesn't know what to say. She has been pre-programmed to just charge ahead, and even the little bit of gray matter between her eyes and behind her soulless eyes there recognized that she just got her whole ass handed to her. Not just a piece, not one cheek, her whole ass handed to her by Holman. So listen to this exchange. It is a thing of beauty, and I wish more people. See, this is the problem with cable news. Cable news so infrequently has anybody on as a guest who knows what they're talking about. And I mean that to about even the people that you like. They just don't know what they're talking about. They're able to talk about it for 5 minutes during a segment on television because everything's, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep. But you go below that inch and they're completely lost. There was a time when cable news, I'm going to go on a rant here just for a second, but this always pissed me off. When I worked at the Heritage Foundation, I worked at the Heritage Foundation right out of college. So it was middle of 2001 until the end of 2005. I remember explicitly how often Heritage experts were on TV and Cato experts were on TV and American Enterprise Institute and the Competitive Enterprise Institute and even the left-wing think tanks, Brookings Institute, and so on and so forth. They were all over cable news. They were not just on for 3 seconds during a part of a package, a pre-taped package. They were interviewed by anchors. They were on the primetime shows. They were interviewed. Why were these people interviewed? Because it is their job to study these issues, to write reports, to author studies about policy things, legal implications to legislation. There was a path beaten from the Heritage Foundation, not just to Fox, but to MSNBC and to CNN. Somewhere since then, and it had to have started during the Obama administration because it's certainly not new during the Trump administration, that path was overgrown. It grew over. It was not used anymore. Friend of mine works PR at another. She used to run PR at Heritage, or one of the big muckety mucks at PR at Heritage. Now she's the muckety muck at another think tank. And I stopped by and we had lunch a couple months ago. And she was telling me she was going through her old logs because they kept track of everything that every expert that they had on every single show. And she was saying, my God, in the 2000s, the mid-2000s, there were hundreds of media hits per week, mainstream media hits, not just Fox, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times interviews, Washington Post interviews, every news story. They were going to the people, getting information, getting quotes and factoids from the people whose job it is to know these issues better than anybody else. Right or left, didn't matter. Somewhere, she's like, now we're lucky to get 10 a week. This massive organization, huge budget, very important, full of people who know their stuff, whether you agree with their conclusions or not. There's just no interest in expertise anymore. There isn't. It's all, can you string together a nice pithy little comment here and there? And we want you. Okay, we'll sign you to an exclusive deal. So we'll have you talk about North Korea. Then we're going to have you talk about the economy. And then we're going to have you talk about healthcare. There is no human being on the planet who is an expert on all of those things, yet you can watch a CNN show in the middle of the day where the same panel discusses any and everything that comes up as if they know what they're talking about. They do not. They are able to bullshit their way through anything and everything. That is why I think people should turn off cable news. It's not news. It's entertainment. You see, these they refer to themselves now as personalities rather than journalists. Why? Because they're moving away from journalism. All it is about getting eyeballs, getting ratings. It's not about informing the audience. So remove the news from your name. Do everybody a favor and remove news from your name. At least be truthful to the audience because you're lying to people. So a former this or a former that. Just because they're former doesn't mean they know what the hell they're talking about. They don't. Anyway, there, I'm off the high horse. No wonder it smells like manure in here. Now we go back to AOC and former ICE director Tom Homan from a hearing up on Capitol Hill on Friday. Listen to this exchange. She gets destroyed.
It says the official recommendation, there were three different options presented. The third included the option for family separation. This initiative would pursue prosecution of all amenable adults, including those presenting with a family unit. Mr. Homan, your name is on this. Is this correct?
Yes, I signed that memo.
So you are the author of the family separation policy?
I am not the author of this memo.
You're not the author, but you signed the memo.
Yes, a zero tolerance memo.
So you provided the official recommendation to Secretary Nielsen on family for the United States to pursue family separation.
I gave Secretary Nielsen numerous recommendations on how to secure the border and save lives.
But it says here that you gave her numerous options, but the recommendation was option three, family separation.
What I'm saying, this is not the only paper where we've given the Secretary numerous options to secure the border and save lives.
And so the recommendation, of the many that you recommended family separation.
I recommended zero tolerance.
Which includes family separation.
The same as is with every U.S. citizen parent gets arrested when they're with a child.
Zero tolerance was interpreted as the policy that separated children from their
parents. If I get arrested for DUI and I have a young child in a car, I'm going to be separated. When I was a police officer in New York and I arrested a father for domestic violence, I separated that father from his family.
Mr. Holman, with all due respect, legal asylees are not charged with any crime.
When you're in the country illegally, it's violation 8 United States Code 1325.
Seeking asylum is legal.
If you want to seek asylum, you go through the port of entry, do it the legal way. The Attorney General of the United States has made that clear.
Okay.
She was dumbfounded and then immediately started asking questions of another witness because she knew that she had been beaten. She knew that she had been humiliated. It was hilarious to watch because her face gets confused. She's not used to anybody not bowing down to her. She doesn't know how to handle it. She's not prepared. She is as ill-prepared as my daughter is when I take away one of her toys because she's not behaving herself. What's going on here? That's not the way it's supposed to be. Or when her sister is playing with one of her toys. I have an armful of toys, but she has the one I want more than anything. I don't get how this is working. What's going on? She was on the verge of tears inside going, but he's not giving me what I want, and I always get what I want. I'm AOC. Don't you know who I am? Another member of the same committee, Jesus Garcia, a member from Texas, was trying to go after Thomas Holman. Again, they're trying to call him a racist because this is all Democrats have. You're a racist. I don't know. By the time the 2020 election comes around, I don't suspect there will be anybody left in the country who hasn't been called a racist by a Democrat. By a Democrat running for president, given how many of them there are. One way or another, I don't know what kind of electoral strategy this is. You're a racist, now vote for me. But that seems to be what Democrats are going after. And on the issue of border crossings, Garcia tries to paint Holman as a racist who doesn't care about the children. Oh, the sweet children. Because they don't look like him. Yes, these people are that freaking sick. Listen to this.
Have we not learned from the internment of Japanese Americans? Mr. Holman, I'm a father. Do you have children? How can you possibly allow this to happen under your watch? Do you not care? Is it because these children don't look like children that are around you? I don't get it. Have you ever held a deceased child in your arms?
First of all, your comments are disgusting. I've served my country for 34 years. I've served my country for 4 years. And yes, I held a five-year-old boy in my arms in back of that tractor trailer. I knelt down beside him and said a prayer for him because I knew what his last 30 minutes of his life were like. And I had a five-year-old son at the time. What I've been trying to do my 34 years serving my nation is to save lives. So for you to sit there and insult my integrity and my love for my country and for children, that's why this whole thing needs to be fixed. And you're the member of Congress.
We agree on that.
Fix it.
We agree on that. But I disagree. But I also disagree with your characterization of immigrants as pro-criminality.
Gentlemen, people for 3 decades on this.
Gentlemen, time has expired. It's my time now.
Mr. Chairman.
It's my time.
The gentleman ripped off about 7 different questions designed to go at the character of Mr. Holman, and Mr. Holman should be given a chance to respond. It was ridiculous, the way he just rattled them all off and wouldn't let him respond to them.
Let me say this. I understand that, but I'm going to have civility in my hearings, all right? I have the floor.
I understand, and I agree with
you. I'm going to have civility. That's why I was banging, so that we could hear each person speak. I have been very courteous and very kind. Now, Mr. Holman, do you have something to say?
No one in this room has seen what I've seen in my 34-year career.
Very well.
No one has experienced what I've experienced. I've saw many dead bodies coming across this border. And you want to talk about the memo? This memo is one option to stop death. not just about enforcing the law, stop death. If you want to legalize illegal immigration, good luck with that, because it's going to get a hell of a lot worse on that border. If you say, well, okay, from now on, there will be no consequence, no deterrence. It's not illegal to come to this country illegally. More families will come. 31% women would be raped. More children would die. We're a nation of laws. If you don't like it, sir, change it. You're the legislator. I'm the executive branch, and I've served my country honorably for 34 years. And I will not sit here and have anybody say that I don't care about children because you're not the same color as my children.
Thank you very much.
Just another round of smackdowns. I'm to the point now that, you know, it used to be, well, we just disagree with it. Everybody cares about their country, but we just see things differently. I no longer believe that Democrats just see things differently. I believe they are fundamentally out to destroy this country, to remake it in not in a new image, but in a new structure that keeps them in power. And they'll do and say anything they have to do in order to do that. Garcia knows that Homan isn't a racist. He doesn't care. It was a useful tool. Sadly, in their toolbox, that's the only tool they have now. And when every tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. They just fling it out there, they throw it out there, and they do serious damage to the American culture, which is what they really want to do. They need to keep people divided. They need to keep people suspicious. They need to keep people worried because they can manipulate them like that. I hear the term racist being thrown around so freely, so openly, so just casually. And, oh, you don't agree with we should have socialized medicine? That's because you're a racist. You want to keep marginalized communities down, particularly women of color, they always say. They always single out a group. Always this one and that one and the other one. When I was much, much younger, and one of my many jobs, over 70 jobs, I worked at a company. I'm not going to name the company. I don't know that the company still exists. And the amount of time it's been since I've worked there, it's been over 20 years. I imagine they have changed. I hope they have changed. But it was a factory. We were making machines that I was constantly drilling holes. I was working a drill press for hours and hours and hours on end. It was a horrible place to work because for lots of reasons. But I think I worked there for like 8 months. They did not hire anybody but white men. They just didn't hire anybody but white men. I had become friendly with a couple of guys who'd worked there for 10 years, and they said, never seen it. I was hired on the spot. You go in, you fill out the application, you sat down with the supervisor, he talked to me, and then I was starting the next week, I think it was, whatever, the next Monday. It was that simple. They needed somebody and somebody was there. But then you would see black people come in, fill out the applications when there were openings, and nobody would, okay, well, we'll take it under advisement. We'll take a look at your application and we'll let you, there was no resume. We'll take a look at your application and we'll let you know. And I noticed this and the guys told me, yeah, no, it's always been that way. They were lifers. They weren't going to stand up. I was never going to be a lifer there. I couldn't imagine being a lifer anywhere at the time. I was like 20 years old. So I called a couple of media outlets. I was a young, idealistic person, disgusted by this, as anybody should be. And I said, called the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press. Got to run around, got to somebody eventually, told them my story, and they weren't really interested because I wasn't discriminated against. Okay. I called up the EEOC. They weren't interested because I wasn't the one discriminated against. I even called into a couple of local talk radio shows and didn't get on the air because I wasn't the one discriminated against. Well, I was also working part-time at Best Buy at the time, at night, selling TVs. So I talked to a friend of mine there who also happened to be named Derek, who happened to be black. He was going to come in and fill out an app. We were going to go through this process. He was going to be the one discriminated against so that maybe all these liberal institutions that were supposed to care would actually care. He never did. He never bothered to come up there and fill out the application. So they were able to get away with it. I eventually quit not long after, but that this sort of thing, racism, real racism, has always disgusted me. real racism is not what the term is applied to anymore. A guy with a long criminal record trying to break into cars goes after a police officer with a knife after being ordered to stop. He gets shot and killed. And just because the police officer was white and the assailant was black, that is an outrage and an injustice. That is not an injustice. That is actually very much justice. But we're so conditioned now as a society, such a small percentage of us, vocal, though incredibly vocal, and that's the difference, to scream racism at any and everything, that something like that gets blown up into a national story. A guy robs a liquor store. Cops tell him, he's not even after him for that. Cops tell him, hey, walk on the sidewalk. He's not having it. You're not going to tell him anything. He ends up attacking the police officer in the car, trying to grab his gun, gets shot in the hand, charges at the police officer, and gets shot and killed. And that is a racist incident. It's not. We've cheapened the word to the point that the real racism that is out there, the very little racism that is left, that if we actually focused on, we could probably do away with the vast majority of it, that gets glossed over. It gets ignored. It's not romantic enough. It is narrative advancing racism only that the left is interested in, that the media is interested in, and the rest is completely ignored. The one saving grace in all of this crap is at least the left is going after itself now with this. They have spent decades creating little social justice warrior monsters who on a hair trigger are trained as if Pavlov's dog to scream racism anytime they don't get their way. And it's all well and good when it's directed at Republicans and when it's directed at Donald Trump. But when they come back home, when they don't get their way within the party, they're using the exact same weapon because they don't have a quiver full of arrows to respond to things. They don't have any coping mechanisms to respond to not getting their way. They just have one default setting: cry racism, scream racism. And that blew up over the weekend in the Democrats, the infighting there. It started with some tweets. It blew up into some ridiculous tweets. It was really, really fun to watch. It ended up with the Gang of Four, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ayan Pressley, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib calling their fellow Democrats, calling Nancy Pelosi a racist, the Justice Democrats calling the Democratic Party racist, or the leadership of the Democratic Party, the leadership of the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives going after AOC's chief of staff for criticizing a black member of Congress. And they're saying, keep her name out of your mouth. It really was a high school little slap fight. It was hilarious. But this is what happens. You create these monsters, and it's all well and good, and you support these monsters when they're attacking your enemies. When they're not attacking their enemies, when you try to rein them in, when you try to control them, you realize you can't control them. There is no controlling them. You've created this monster, and there's no controlling it. There are no controls. It's kind of ridiculous. Over the left is making a big deal out of this. We don't have enough time to go into all of this, but believe me, this isn't over because you cannot control these little monsters that they've created. The president over the weekend went off on a Twitter rant against the Gang of Four. He said, so interesting to see progressive Democratic congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt and inept anywhere in the world, if they even have a functioning government at all, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest, most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came? Then they can come show us how it's done. These places need your help badly. You can't leave fast enough. I'm sure Nancy Pelosi would be very happy to quickly work out free travel arrangements. He's referring to Ilhan Omar, who was born in Somalia, who hates this country. She insists she loves it. We'll have a message in a second. But listen to the way Mediaite framed it, because Mediaite is a liberal outlet. The headline is, Trump says Ilhan Omar should go back to Africa. Quote, you can't leave fast enough. I didn't say Africa. I didn't actually even name her Tommy. Tommy Christopher wrote this. But what's wrong with that? If you despise this, if I despised this country, I would leave it. It's that simple. It wouldn't be easy. It would be tough. It'd be expensive. I'd have to save money. I'd have to find a place to go. But I would leave it. If I really believed that this country was fundamentally racist and stacked against me, and there was absolutely positively no way for me to get ahead because of this racist society, and it wasn't going to change, why would you stay? Why on earth would you stay? Well, Nancy Pelosi rode to the defense of the people who were calling her a racist by calling the president a racist. I love how this works out. For what, 6 months, 7 months, if not longer, during their campaigns, these Democrats, and all Democrats really, and all the people in the media, have been saying Donald Trump is literally the reincarnation of Hitler. Donald Trump is a Nazi. He's running concentration camps down on the border. He is a totalitarian, desperate to try and destroy our democracy. Donald Trump responds with basically, look, if you don't like it here, nobody's keeping you here. If you think there's a utopia out there, if there's something better, go to it. Goodbye. I'll be waving to you at the airport. Just, you know, see you later. And immediately, how dare he? The president has gone too far, telling people who do nothing but bitch and complain about this country that they should leave this country. Why on earth would that is so racist? That is so awful. He's saying this to women, particularly women of color. Shut up. At the Netroots Nation gathering up in Philadelphia over the weekend, which is, of course, the radical left gets together and plots their latest putsch. Ilhan Omar was talking about patriotism and how she loves this country. In fact, she loves this country more than you do. She just, I don't know, maybe she really takes to heart that you always hurt the one you love thing. Because she, if you treated your spouse this way, you would not be married very long. And Ilhan's had a couple of marriages, so maybe she does treat her spouse this way, and maybe in that sick way, she does love the country. But I'm not buying it. Listen to this rationale for why somebody who does nothing but complain about how evil and racist and oppressive this country is actually loves this country.
Something that I get criticized for all the time. It's not what you think, so don't, like, don't gasp. It is that, like, I am anti-American because I criticize the United States. And I believe, as an immigrant, I probably love this country more than anyone that is naturally born. And because I am ashamed of it continuing to live in its hypocrisy, that I work so hard to make sure that others who've had that, like, why just be American? Why don't you be more like an American? Can continue to say that. Why can't you be more like an American? Because it used to be a very positive thing. We export American exceptionalism, the great America, the land of liberty and justice. That is, you know, if you ask anybody in walking on the side of the street somewhere in the middle of the world, they will tell you America the Great. But we don't live those values here. And so that hypocrisy is one that I'm bothered by. I want America the Great to be America the Great.
I love this country more than anybody, especially the people who are born here, but I'm ashamed of it. Go home to your spouse tonight and say, honey, I love you, but I'm ashamed to be seen with you. I'm ashamed for people to know that you are my spouse. I find that disgusting, and I'd like to maybe try and, if we could just keep this marriage on the down low. You know, I just don't want to wear a ring. I don't want you to come to company functions. I don't want you to meet my friends. I'm ashamed of you, but I love you. I love you. And I will fundamentally transform you into something I find socially acceptable, and then we'll all be good. Now, why would anybody think that you might have problems in your marriage if you did or said something like that? That is Ilhan Omar's logic. It's, well, this is a horrible country. I love it. It's just awful, and I'm ashamed of it. But the rest of the world thinks it's so great, they don't realize how much it sucks. Maybe you should go down to the southern border, Ilhan, and tell everybody to go back home, that this cesspool up here has yet to be made into a utopia in your own image. First of all, what the hell does she know about what a government is supposed to be like? She's fled two failed governments, two oppressive governments, and we took her in, and we're the problem in this world. Again, there are flights leaving every day to all corners of the world. If you don't like it here, you're free to be on one. That's the beauty of it. We're the country that needs walls to keep people out. The countries that these people, these leftists, these radical anti-American lunatics want to create is just like the countries that need to build walls to keep people in. That should tell you everything you need to know about their political philosophy, their mentality, and really who they are fundamentally as people. Anyway, that is all the time we have today. We didn't even get a chance to, in Colorado, at an anti-ICE protest. Protesters ripped down the American flag and replaced it with a Mexican flag because tolerance or something like that. These are Democrats, ladies and gentlemen. They are reliable Democratic votes. Your friends who vote Democrat because they've always voted Democrat, they're probably not down with this. But they also don't know about these sorts of things. Nobody tells them. The mainstream media doesn't tell them. The passive news watcher, the network news watcher, will not hear of these things. That's why it's so important that you guys have this information so that you can bring it up to people casually, calmly, in a friendly way, or spread the word of this podcast. Today's show wasn't particularly fun, I don't think. Funny. I'm more pissed off at all the garbage that's going on, but we'll get back to the jokes soon. And a programming note, I am going to be guest hosting on WMAL from 3 until 6 this Thursday and Friday. So I'll be back on the radio if you need more of me, if you want more of my nasally drone. Otherwise, thanks for spreading the word. Email me, whatever you want, or especially make a note in the subject line, preferably, that you want to be entered to win the Kaylee McEnany signed book. Good luck spelling either one of those. I know I screw it up every time I type it. Otherwise, have a great Monday and be back here on Tuesday.
I am anti-American.